Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
It is a law of nature that when water runs downhill, it will always choose the path of least resistance. That means that if there is already a little bit of a trough or a ditch, the water will run down that rather than push its way through new dirt. Mankind has much the same characteristic. We always seem to choose the easiest path, the road that is the smoothest and the flattest, or maybe even slightly downhill, rather than the one that is rocky and steep and causes us to work and go uphill. But when we do this in a spiritual sense, oftentimes we end up in danger. There is great value sometimes in choosing the hard road. If you would, go ahead and open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to take our text from verses 24 through 28. Let's go ahead and read our text so that we might see what it says and then enter into today's study. By faith Moses, when he was become of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. This is talking about a very pivotal time in the life of Moses. Last week we looked at the fact that he refused great things that were offered to him through Pharaoh. This week I want us to look at what he chose to do. We looked at what he turned his back on last week. Now I want to see what he turned his face toward. We've entitled this particular lesson, Choosing the Hard Road. There was a choice laid before Moses at this point. Two different paths that he could choose. And Moses certainly did choose what appeared to many to be the hard road. By way of review, let's consider. Last week we noticed that he had the sonship of Pharaoh's house offered to him and available to him. This meant great glory and honor and wealth and power, a life of great ease, for the Pharaohs were treated as gods of the people. Moses could have been a partaker in that, but he chose not to. He refused that. That was the easy road. Anyone who had the two paths laid before them at that point could see that that was the one that would be comfortable and easy and nice. But Moses didn't choose that route. Rather, Moses chose what looked like a very hard road. We're told that it is God who instructed Moses to refuse Pharaoh's house. We know this because he refused that by faith, according to Hebrews 11:24. And faith comes by hearing the word of God, according to Romans 10 and verse 17. Therefore, for him to have done this, to have refused Pharaoh's household by faith, it had to have been by the instruction of God. God's instruction, his trust in God, and then his obedient actions to what God had said. That's how something is done by faith. That's how Moses refused Pharaoh's house. We also notice that God gave him much evidence upon which he could base that faith. We know that there are many things that Moses knew even while he was still in Egypt. He knew, according to Hebrews 11:25, that God had a chosen people. He knew of the coming Christ, according to Hebrews 11:26, and that through that Christ would come great reward, the reward of heaven. He knew that God would deliver his people out of bondage, according to Acts 7 and verse 25. And he knew that he would be the instrument of God's deliverance, according to that same passage. From this we see that he made a choice. He made a reasoned choice. He chose the hard road. He chose to walk that path that was not easy, that was not smooth. He chose the difficult route, but the route that would lead him to heaven. From this choice, we can know many things. We can know that it's very clear that what God told him, what God revealed to him, must have had within it great promise. Because of the choice that he made, we see that God must have promised him something very wonderful, because he gave up something that was very impressive. We know that his faith, based on what God told him, was strong enough that he committed his entire life to a service to God. It wasn't just a short period of time, but rather we see from the age of 80 when God calls him through the burning bush until the age of 120 when he dies, that he spends all of those years in faithful and diligent service to God. When he went back to be the deliverer of God's people, to lead them up out of that land, it wasn't a one-time commitment that lasted for a short time. It was a one-time commitment that lasted for life. We are called upon to do the same thing. We are called upon to make a lifelong commitment to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction is for but a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." This must have been the same attitude that Moses had. An attitude that no matter how hard the road is, no matter how tired I become, no matter how difficult it is to continue to struggle against the many obstacles that we all have in life, I am going to be renewed day by day in the inner man. Because I'm not looking at these things, these hurdles and these obstacles that are placed before me. I'm looking beyond them. In fact, I'm looking to those things that are invisible. We know that this was the case not only with Paul, but also with Moses. For we're told that Moses looked to the reward. Moses could see the things that Egypt had to offer him, but he could also see the reward that God was offering. And he looked to that reward. Paul told the Colossians in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on those things above, not on things on the earth." Many times we stumble and fall spiritually because we have our sights set on the earth. We're looking at the here and now, at the things that are visible, rather than the things that God offers in the life to come. And that causes us to stumble over these things here on the earth. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, Paul said, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, to be minded about the things of this world, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." That's where we should look. We should have our sights set beyond these things. We should have them set to the reward, as did Moses. And that means that we can see past that hard road. We may have to choose to walk a difficult path, but we can see beyond it to the reward that lies at the end. Paul said in Philippians 1, beginning in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell." Now, Paul had a choice that was laid before him. It was a choice of staying here in this earth or passing on to the next life. Paul said, "I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul wanted to leave this life. He wasn't contemplating suicide or anything like that. But he knew that the end of his days was rapidly approaching. He wrote this from a prison cell in Rome, and he knew he would not live many years longer. Paul looked forward to the time when he would go on to that great reward, that prize that he was pressing toward, as he told the Philippians. However, he understood that there was a reason that he was here on earth, that he stayed behind because it was better for them. Just as what it was with Paul, so it was true with Moses, that he looked beyond the hard road to that reward at the end. Now, he was not ignorant of the hardships. This was a very clear choice that was laid before him. I know that because of our text, Hebrews chapter 11. Do you recall that we read that he esteemed Christ's reproaches greater than Egypt's treasures. See, he had both of them right there in front of him. He could see by faith the reproach of Christ, yet he could also see the treasure of Egypt. Notice, he does not compare the riches of Christ with the reproach of Christ, or the riches of Christ with the riches of Egypt. Rather, he compares the reproach of Christ with the riches of Egypt. And even looking at the worst thing that can happen in Christ, at the terrible suffering, that was better than the riches of the greatest kingdom that had ever existed up until that time. And Moses was seeing this nation of Egypt at its height, at its pinnacle, at its greatest glory. And even then, the reproach of Christ was far better than this kingdom. A lesson for us is that we must realize and consider the cost of discipleship. We're taught this in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish? We need to understand that it is necessary for us to count the cost, for us to know that there is a cost to discipleship, that it is a difficult and hard road. It doesn't mean we shouldn't choose that road. It just means that we should look at it and make a reasoned decision and still choose the right path, even when it's the hard path. We have to have a knowledge of God's Word in order to be able to make the right choices. We have choices placed before us almost every single day. We were talking about the fact that it's important that a person count the cost of discipleship. And I have to be completely honest with you. There is a genuine cost to being a Christian. There is something that is difficult about it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul told Timothy, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." There was no time limit put on that. Now, in most places in the world, the persecution that we have today is not as great as what they endured in the first century. But that doesn't mean that there isn't persecution. We need to understand the persecution exists, but we can overcome it. We can choose the hard road and it still be worth it. I'm reminded of Paul's attitude. He wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. He said, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We need to have that same attitude. Rather than depending on ourselves and relying on our own strengths, we need to understand that our true strength comes from God. Our greatest strength comes when we see our own weaknesses, we see our own needs, our own frailties, and we rely upon God to provide for our needs. In Hebrews chapter 13, we have been assured, "I will never forsake you nor leave you." It's interesting to me that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he bore my sins. Not only mine, but the sins of all the world. And because of the holiness of God, he had to turn away from the Christ because he represented the sin of man. He had to turn his back on him and forsake him. So on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Yet we find the assurance of Christ in Hebrews 13 that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. We need to understand what a great privilege and blessing that is. That we can see our own needs, our own weaknesses, our own shortcomings, and know that there is a God that provides for those needs when we come to him in obedience. Because of that, we have an opportunity and we can overcome. We can look and choose the right path, even when it's a hard path, and know that we have the assistance of the Father in overcoming. Consider that Jesus oftentimes comforted his disciples, referring to them as his children, talking about the fact that they didn't have any need to fear the things of this world and the people in this world. But rather, if they remained with Him, they would be safe. I see that same teaching reflected through the man John. John was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. There was a great compassion for one, between one and the other, one for the other. As Jesus hung on the cross, it was to this man John that He entrusted the care of his mother. And we see John teaching in a very similar way in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Here we find John saying, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Many times when we see the hard path that a Christian must walk, and we see all of the stumbling blocks and all of the problems that it has, and all of the things that people do intentionally to make it more difficult for you, we sometimes think we can't make it. That we cannot make it to the end of the road. That there is no way we can overcome with so many against us. This verse reminds us of what we all need to know. That it is not a matter of who is against us that is important, but rather it's a matter of who is for us. And we can overcome because He who is in us, that's Christ. Jesus prayed in John 17 that we would all be one, just as He was in the Father and the Father in Him, and that they would be one in us, looking for that perfect unity. And when we live obediently, we do have Him living in us. We have Him living in us through the effect of His Word. Because of that, the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. We don't need to fear these things of the world. We need to understand that there are difficulties. We need to understand that there are many things that must be overcome. But we must also have the complete assurance from God's Word that if we will remain with Him, we will overcome. We can defeat the evil of this world. I hope that you will take heart based on this lesson. If you are discouraged or maybe you are simply tired of the struggle, I hope that you will take encouragement from it and understand that choosing the hard road is often the right path, and we don't have to be ashamed for making that choice. We can make it, and we can overcome.